Good evening. Have you ever been tired? I know all of us have had days where we've just worked a long day and we've come home just been physically exhausted. Some of us, that's what our days are like all of the time. That's not exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that tired, that weariness that lives just kind of deep within our bones, an exhaustion that just kind of takes root inside of us, where you've spent your energy, you've put forth your effort, and you are just wearied. You're just tired. Maybe even that's where you are tonight. We've all had seasons like this in our lives, and if we haven't had those seasons yet, at one point in our life, we are going to reach that point of weariness, that point of exhaustion. I know for me, I'm just kind of coming out of one of those seasons. For a while, I've told you before, in college, I changed my major a couple years in, and for the last year and a half or so of my time in college, I was taking all kinds of classes, trying to get things done. I decided to not piddle around and just get the degree done, and so was taking some extra classes, taking classes over the summer, just trying to get the work done. And then I decided it would be a really good idea to start graduate school, get married, and start full-time ministry all kind of at the same time. And so I was tired. I was wearied, and I could feel it in my bones. Amanda is coming through a season of finishing nursing school and all the stress that goes with that. There is just a weariness, a tiredness that can settle within us, that we feel not just in our muscles, not just in our aches and pains, but a tiredness, a wearinessness that just is inside, just eats at us and drags us down. I've told you before that my dog, Mila, loves to throw her ball. We've got this little blue racquetball that she is obsessed with. We can throw it. It doesn't matter if we're inside, outside, on the steps, wherever we are. We can throw it, and she chases after it. She's almost to the point where she will leave her food to chase after this ball. And she also tends to have a lot of energy, which is great when we want to play. Not so great when we're trying to get things done. And so one of the things that we do is we try to wear our dog out. We'll take her on the steps, or we'll take her in the field behind her house, and we'll just throw the ball. She'll get it, bring it back to us. Throw the ball, get it, bring it back to us, until she eventually collapses. Every single time, if we do it long enough, she'll get to that point like, okay, I am done. No more throwing of the ball. And she just kind of lays down. She'll do it right at the top of the steps, just hang her feet over the side and just be done. Maybe that's where you are, or maybe you're right at the brink of just being done. That you're tired, you're wearied, that you're worn out. I read about a store in the Mall of America in Minneapolis. It's called Minneapolis, which is a play on the word Minneapolis. It's a store where you can pay 70 cents per minute, I believe, to take a nap. That in this grand mall, there is a store where you can pay money to take a nap. And I got really excited when I read about that. And I also got kind of frustrated too, because I was at the Mall of America one time. I was in Minneapolis for graduate school, and we had to kill a little bit of time waiting for more people to fly in. And so they decided we should go to the mall. Which is not something I was particularly interested in doing. And if I would have known the store was there, I would have paid 70 cents to take a 20-minute nap. Like, I would have done that. Unfortunately, the store, turns out, has kind of gone under, and so it's not around anymore. But there are these other nap cafes that you can see in places, particularly Japan, and they're popping up all over the world, where you can pay money to take a nap. We're just tired. We are tired people. We run around all the time. See, Jesus, in one of my favorite passages of Scripture, speaks into this tiredness and this weariness for us. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to allow Jesus to speak into this weariness that is so real for so many of us. Matthew 11, picking up in verse 25, the text says, "At that time, Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and you have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. God, we thank you for the word that you have given us. And as we try to allow this promise of Jesus to sink into our lives and into our hearts tonight, God, we pray that you would open us up to your will, that you would allow us to interact with your word in a way that not just gives us information, but a way that changes our hearts. Father, we love you and we just come to you right now asking for your help. God, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So there are several different ways that Jesus gives us this rest. And I want to talk just very briefly about a few of those tonight. The first way that Jesus gives us rest is he gives us rest from hurry. If you're anything like me, you are always in a hurry to do something. Often it's hurry up and wait. But I always feel like when I'm doing something, that there's something else I should be doing or I could be doing. And so I'm always in a hurry to get done with what's in front of me so I can get to whatever comes next. That they're always hurrying, always going somewhere. But when we look at Jesus was never in a hurry, was he? He was never anxious to get from one place or another. Sure, he had plans. He had things he was going to do, people he was going to see, but Jesus was always interruptible. Now, Jesus was never in a hurry. And I think one of the reasons why we get so stressed out when our plans don't work, the reason why we get in such a hurry sometimes, is that we are trying to exercise this control over our plans and over our schedules. And when things don't go the way we want them to, it messes with us because we want that control. And Jesus shows us a way to live life with plans, yes, but not holding on to them tightly, not grasping them for life, because the life doesn't come from the plans. And so Jesus gives us rest from hurry, but Jesus also gives us rest from laziness. This is kind of the other side of that coin, because laziness can be exhausting. To lay around and do nothing can wear you out. And there's a reason for that. It's because God has wired us to be people who work. Work is not a consequence of sin. Work is not a punishment, but work is part of what God wired us to be and what God wired us to do. And so when we don't work, we just lay around and we're lazy, when we don't do the things that we should be doing, it can wear on us because we're not doing what God has wired us to do. And then when that list just keeps getting longer and longer and longer because we're not doing the things we should be doing, just looking at the list can make you tired. So Jesus gives us rest from laziness because he shows us a way to work, a way working, trusting God. Jesus also gives us rest from anxiety. And this is a big one for us, right? We struggle with anxiety. We know we're not supposed to be anxious. We know the scriptures, and yet anxiety, this gnawing doubt about what's going to happen, is so real for so many of us. And Jesus gives us rest from this anxiety in a couple ways. First, he teaches us. He teaches us what? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all of the things that you need will be given to you. It's a promise of Jesus that if we live our lives in a way where we put the kingdom of God before everything else, then everything else that matters is going to fall into place. And Jesus demonstrated that for us in the way that he lived his life. There was never any anxiety, though they didn't have the kind of luxuries we have of where his food was going to come from or where he was going to sleep at night, because he had that trust that you seek first God's kingdom and everything else works out. But Jesus also shows us another way that we can have rest from anxiety. And it's the way he died and was resurrected. See, Jesus trusted God so deeply that he was willing to go to the cross, knowing that if he were to obey God, if he were to put God first, that there was going to be hope on the other side of the grave. Jesus shows us in the resurrection that when we trust God, there is nothing in our lives that can touch us. There is no bad thing, there is no situation in our lives that can remove that promise from us. That it doesn't matter how bad things get. It doesn't matter how big of a mess our family makes. It doesn't matter how bad things go at work. It doesn't matter any of those things because of the resurrection. Because in the resurrection, God shows us this, that his power is stronger than anything. And that if we would but trust him and seek him and pursue him, God gives us life on the other side of every bad situation we face. That the worst the world can give us is not stronger than what God has for us. So Jesus gives us rest from anxiety. But Jesus also gives us rest from self-improvement, that many of us have bought into the lie that the key to our happiness is simply a better version of you. That if you were simply wealthier, or if you were simply in better shape, or if you were more disciplined, or if you were better at this thing, or if you were more advanced in your career, or if you were only more, that you would finally be happy. That happiness, that rest, that joy is just one step away. That if you can just get yourself a little bit better, if you can make yourself a little bit better, that you'll finally arrive, that you'll finally get there. Many of us, we struggle to believe that God loves us as we are. It's easy for us, at least at times, it can be easy for us to know that God has forgiven us from our past. Sometimes that can be a difficult thing, but if we're honest, we can understand that God has forgiven what we've done in the past. And we can look forward to where we're going to be and say, yes, God will love me in the future, because in the future, I'm going to be awesome. If you think about where you're going to be in 5 years from now or 10 years from now, you are going to be awesome, aren't you? I know when I think about myself in 10 years, I will finally be coming into my own in 5 or 10 years, that I'll finally be there. See, God does not just love us in the past and forgive us in the past. And God doesn't just love the future version of you once you get your act together. But God loves you. And he loves each of us right where we are. This constant drive for self-improvement, this constant drive for making more of our lives can be exhausting. We're just running on a treadmill, not really going anywhere with that thing, whatever it is for you, just dangled out in front of us, never able to reach it, never able to get there. Jesus gives us rest in that treadmill, that exhaustion, by saying, I love you just as you are. That you don't have to clean yourself up to come to me. That you don't have to be fitter. You don't have to be wealthier. You don't have to be more disciplined. I love you just as you are. And so he gives us rest from self-improvement. And he also gives us rest from the need for approval, wanting other people to validate you, wanting to be liked and approved of and appreciated, wanting to get value from other people. Jesus gives us rest from that in that same thing. I love you just as you are. Jesus also gives us rest from the world. And what I mean by that is what the world tries to sell us. The world tries to tell us this self-improvement image that we already talked about, that you'll be happy if you just get a little bit better. But it also tells us that if you want to be happy, if you want rest, if you want joy, if you want happiness, then you just need to get more. That if you've got something and it's not making you happy, you just need to get a nicer one. If you've got a car and the car's not making you happy, or all you need is a nicer one, or if you've got a house and the house isn't making you happy, you just need to get a nicer house, or if you've gone on a vacation and it's not giving you rest, then you just need to go on a nicer vacation next time. It's this constant need for more, where there's no contentment. And Jesus comes to us and says, there can be contentment right where you are. But these trinkets and toys that we try to use to numb our souls will never provide the rest that I can provide. Jesus gives us rest in this pursuit of consumption that the world shows us. Jesus also gives us rest from religion. And what I mean when I say religion is kind of the negative concept of false religion that we read about in Scripture. It's this idea of amassing our good deeds, of piling up our good deeds on scales that don't exist. That if we simply do enough good, that God is going to have to let us into heaven. That if we do enough good, the scales will tip in our favor. But those scales don't exist. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul says something that he is incredibly passionate about, so much so that he says the same exact thing in two verses together. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 15, he says, "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ." He says that the way we stand in God's presence as justified, as holy, as blameless, is not by amassing the good deeds on a scale that doesn't exist. That our story is not we cleaned ourselves up. Our story is not that we pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps. Our story is not that we got our lives together and then God loved us. Our story is that we have been saved by Christ in the midst of our messes and in the midst of our failures, that is what we are justified by. We are justified by Christ. So he says that we've been justified by faith, through faith in Jesus Christ, and so we also believe that in Christ Jesus, in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. See, he says the same exact thing twice, that we are not justified by what we do. We are not justified by our works. We're not justified by piling up good deeds on a scale. But that we are made right by our faith in Jesus. That Jesus gets us to the place we need to be. That Jesus gives us rest from constantly trying to fix ourselves. There's one writer who says that you're exhausted in the faith because you are looking at you. The more you look at yourself and the less you look at God, the more you get frustrated at yourself. That if we make our religion about what we do and not what Christ has done for us, it is going to wear us out. And maybe that's where you are right now. Worn out by making your religion about you and not about what Christ has already done for us. He gives us rest from having to know it all. That it's okay for us not to have all the answers. It's okay for us not to have everything figured out. And this is the context of that famous passage, "Come to me and I will give you rest." He says, "I thank you that you have not shown this to the wise and understanding, but you have shown it, you have revealed them to little children." That the promises of God don't depend on our ability to figure it all out. So Jesus gives us rest from having to figure it all out, having to have all the answers and knowing all that there is to know. And Jesus gives us rest from control. It says that all things have been handed over to me by my Father. Jesus gives us rest by simply saying, "I've got this. I've got this under control, and I know what I'm doing." And that's what we rest in. We rest in the fact that Jesus says, I've got it. I've got it covered. That I've got this figured out. And I love you right where you are. I don't know how you respond to this. But the invitation for us tonight is to find our rest in Jesus. I don't know where you've been going or where you try to go in your life to find rest, but if it's not in Jesus, then it's never going to give you a lasting, satisfying rest. That is only in Jesus. And it is only in what Jesus has done for us that we can have that rest for that weariness in our bones. So I don't know how you need to respond to this tonight. Maybe you need to respond just by soaking it in your seat. Or maybe you need to respond by asking for prayers, just saying, I'm tired, been running to other things, and I want to come to Jesus for rest. Or maybe you need to respond by confessing Jesus, by being buried in baptism, and entered into this rest. However it is you need to respond tonight, you come and meet me down front as we stand and as we worship together.